Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And thank you, everybody. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And interesting times these days with retrograde running around. I have a very special guest speaking of retrograde. And before I do announce her, of course, I have a special event coming up tomorrow for those in the Los Angeles or actually Ventura area in California. Tomorrow, which is Saturday, of course, between 1 and 1:30, I will be doing a special speaking engagement. Of course, this is at WordFest in Ojai. I'll be speaking about Kabbalah, the essence, Merkava in you, what it is really. And I feel honored to do that at WordFest. And I'll also be having my books there, specifically Spirit, and they've asked me to do a signing event shortly afterward, which I'll be happy to do. And that is, of course, at WordFest 2012 at Soul Centered, 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California, 93023. And the phone number there is 805-640-8222. Again, that's at the WordFest festival they're having between 1 and 1:30. So come down, hear what I have to say, and then hopefully then you can check out my books and have some conversation as well. Now, I haven't had my illustrious guest, Carrie Fezza, for almost a half a year now. She's been giving us some analysis on the quarterly, you know, whether it's equinox and solstice. And a lot of people who, to refresh people who haven't heard about her in the past, one of my first shows I had her on was actually prior to the elections, almost 4 years ago, or over 4 years ago. And it was regard before Obama being elected, and she had predicted that, and regarding Edwards and the scandal that happened, and then subsequently during several past shows, she had predicted the major recession that we were going to be hit, and the problems with our in particular with real estate, and the situation where we have to deal with our own issues without regards overseas. And that's basically been dead on, and I feel really very honored to have her again. Carrie Fezza is an internationally well-known astrologist as well as intuitive, and I highly suggest you to contact her to do a chart or analysis or getting a reading. And her, I feel honored to have her once again. How you doing, Carrie?
Well, thank you, Andy, for the wonderful intro. I feel honored to be on your show. Thank you.
With all this honored stuff.
grateful. I'll say grateful.
Grateful. You use that honored all the time. A lot of people, including myself, sometimes we get sort of lost when we hear, you know, explanations of astrology. So maybe in a brief, can you explain to us who are sort of like sort of confused when you talk certain terms of astrology? Because a lot of our don't understand when you talk direct and, you know, all kinds of terminology and then out when you, you know, explain the degrees and such. Can you explain a little briefly of how astrology actually works?
I'll give it my best shot. Astronomy looks at the planets as they rotate around the sun. In astrology, we look at the planets in relationship to the Earth. And the reason for that is because we live on Earth. And we believe as astrologers that each planet in our solar system, including Pluto, and we also include the Sun and Moon as planets, has a distinct and different energy, and that energy from each planet influences us on Earth. And a really good example of that is the Moon. The Moon's energy affects the tides, women's cycles, how people plant their crops, and has a real, actual, far more reaching impact than people sometimes appreciate. police will tell you that people act up or they're a lot more busy on a full moon. And we use their cycles to do things to plan our own lives. So with that said, when each planet rotates around the Earth, that's how we view it, every once in a while, with the exception of the Sun and the Moon, because they're actually fixed stars, the other planet's rotation in relation to the Earth's rotation once in a while appears to be going backward, and that's what we would call a retrograde. It's like when you're driving a car past somebody who's riding a bike, and when you pass the bike and look in your rearview mirror, it almost appears as if they're going backwards. Or if you pull into a parking spot and the person next to you is pulling out, it still feels like you're moving forward. So within the two rotations, every once in a while, depending on the length of the planetary cycle, it may appear that a planet is moving backwards in relation to Earth, and that's what we would call a retrograde. Now, you also have to take into account the distance of each planet from the Earth. Mercury, Venus, the Sun, and Moon are all relatively close to the Earth and have a more profound impact on our daily events. The outer planets, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, are so much further away from the Sun, their rotation around the Earth is much slower, and they more have an impact on, say, generations. They have more of a generational impact. And the bridge planets, which are Jupiter and Saturn, they're not as close as what we would call the personal planets, like Mercury, Venus, the Sun, and they're not as far away as the outer planets. They come in cycles that have impacts on the charts for 1, 2, 3 years at a time. Does that make sense? Is that easy enough to follow?
Yeah. So, but Mercury going retrograde is basically in relation to it appears going backwards in relation to the Earth? Is that what you're saying?
Right. 3 times a year, Mercury appears to be moving backwards in its rotation to the Earth. Now, because Mercury is so close to the Earth in terms of gravitational pull as opposed to, say, the outer planets, it rules communication devices. We give a ruler different, and we assign different energies to different planets. Venus would be the love planet. Mars would be the passion planet. Mercury rules communication and transportation. So when it appears to be moving backward, it really does affect all communication and transportation devices. You'll know your cell phone goes a little wonky. Your computer will slow down for no reason during that time. Sometimes the light in your car will come on for different reasons, but there's really nothing wrong with it. I always say if it's not something important like the brake light or check engine, you know, just let it go until after Mercury appears to go direct, and then those issues sort of work themselves out. The other thing is Mercury retrograde can bring people from the past back into your life. It's uncanny sometimes who you run into or who you hear from during a Mercury retrograde. If you're interested on the pros and cons of it, I have an article that's free on my website, zodiacbuzz.com. It's under the subtitle Astro Buzz, and you feel free to go ahead and read that, and it'll show you some of the positive uses of things you can do with Mercury retrograde energy so you don't get frustrated. Because sometimes it can be a really frustrating transit, especially if you're a Gemini or a Virgo, because Mercury is your ruling planet. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So you're saying like people who are the Geminis and Virgos are more apt to be more affected directly with the retrograde activity of Mercury?
Absolutely, because it rules their sun sign. Now, a lot of people just think of astrology as your sun sign, and it's pretty profound. I'd say the sun is the most profound planet in the chart. That's why your sun sign is your inherent nature, not necessarily your personality or emotionally the way you were nurtured, but it's your nature. So whatever impacts your basic nature is going to be significant. Right now, the planet Mars is also retrograde. Mars rules Aries and Cole rules Scorpios. It's a planet that lends itself, again, to energy, drive, ambition, aggression. And one of my astrology mentors who does the new moon report on my site every month, he always calls a Mars retrograde a slow burn because it's moving backward. So the energy is moving inward rather than outward. And you and I are both Aries, so you might be feeling it. I was born with Mars retrograde, so I don't know if it's impacting me as much, but I definitely have less energy than I usually do. And that goes direct next month.
Wow.
As does Mercury. So I just tell everybody, even though it's a new moon and we're in yesterday and we're entering a waxing cycle, it's still a really good time to just kind of chill until the new moon in April.
And when's it mean? And that's the beginning of April, the new moon?
No, it's in the middle to late April. The new moons have been around the 22nd. So if you want to play it safe with major events, starting anything majorly new in your life, buying a car, signing a contract, if you can possibly wait till the new moon in April, you're out of the shadows of the Mercury retrograde just about. Mars is direct by that time. I mean, there's always usually one planet, at least one planet retrograde at a time. When the outer planets go retrograde, it doesn't have such an impact on us because they're not as close to the Earth, and they frequently go retrograde, and they stay retrograde for much longer periods of time due to their distance. And a lot of us were born with those planets retrograde, so their impact isn't as profound. But when the personal planets that are closest to the Earth go retrograde, we're more inclined to feel them. Venus will go retrograde next month in April. I don't think we had a Venus retrograde last year. Let me correct myself on that.
So we're going to have, we have Mercury in retrograde, we have
Mars in retrograde.
Mars in retrograde, and then we're going to have Venus in retrograde almost in the same time, then you're saying?
No, Mars and Mercury will go direct next month, and I am sorry, Venus doesn't go retrograde until mid-May. Oh. And Venus is the planet we associate with love and money. It's the pleasure planet. It's things that give us pleasure, good food, good wine, and we need the money to buy it. So when Venus goes retrograde, it can sometimes turn really nasty. You'll find it's not a great time to get married, and I hope none of your guests are getting married this May or June while Venus is retrograde, because it's not the most auspicious time for a love match. It's also retrograding in the sign of Gemini. Every sign has its positive and negative qualities. The downside of Gemini would be two-faced or backstabbing. So you have a Venus that can be mean and in a really two-faced sign. So anything that has to do with Venusian things like love, art, decor, it can go through a few bumps in the May and June time period. So it's something to watch out for. It also can be nasty love triangles because Gemini is more than one partner, more than one love interest. Bisexuality.
So
I don't want to be negative, but it's just something to be aware of.
So no June weddings.
No, or May. I would not. Yeah.
That's sort of because they always say, "Hey, I have a June wedding." Not all of them will come out great. So let me ask you this, because I know you did analysis for the next for the 3 months. Then. You posted on your site called the Vernal Equinox. Can you go into some of the aspects, like you talked about how using, explain how you first set it up, because you talked about from a perspective of zero Aries, which is the solar chart, in the next 3 months, and you're talking some issues with some of the associations, what's happening with that, particularly with Aries, I guess Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn are affected directly. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, the equinoxes and the solstice always relate to the zero Aries point, which is the actual beginning of the new year. We have the calendar new year, and the Western zodiac, the zodiacal new year, is actually around March 20th, 21st, every year it's a little bit different. This year it actually fell on the 19th if you lived on the West Coast. You had the sun move into zero Aries, so thus began the zodiacal new year. Now, if anybody didn't get off to a good start with their New Year's resolutions, they have an opportunity to go back and try again. And it's okay to do during the Mercury retrograde and the Mars retrograde because you're redoing what you tried to start 3 months ago. So anything that you're trying to redo or renew is fine. We also had a new moon yesterday, like I said, so a lot of new energy this week. And Zero Aries is the beginning of the zodiac. But whenever you have a solstice and an equinox, you're always doing a 0 degree of a cardinal sign. And like you said, the cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So any planets that fall in those signs, especially close to between 0 and 5 degrees, become really major players in the chart. For the last several years, we've seen Pluto between 0 and 5 degrees of Capricorn. Capricorn being the sign that rules corporate America, big business, Pluto ruling death. And as soon as Pluto moved into Capricorn and stayed within those 5 degrees, it had a huge impact on the economy. And that's where you saw, you know, the car companies, the banks, all kinds of corporate institutions dying a death, and then Pluto is rebirthed like the phoenix, and they're rebuilding out of the ashes, or they're annihilated altogether. Now, recently, we've sort of seen that improve, and that's because Pluto, while it's still going to remain in Capricorn for several years, is moved out of that 0 to 5 degree point where it's directly affecting all the axis of the cardinal signs. In this chart, it falls on the very top. So Pluto transforming the economy, transforming corporate America, is very much in the public spotlight for the next 3 months. But it's not in quite, I'd say, the most harmful impact to us as it has been in the last couple years since 2008. Mercury's retrograde in this chart, so the next 3 months will have a lot to do with the past issues, past things. It will go direct next month, like I said, during this three-month period, but because it's retrograde on the equinox chart, we're still going to be cleaning up, tidying up, and dealing with issues from the past. Another key player in this chart is Uranus. Because last year, Uranus moved on to the zero Aries point. Again, most important point in the zodiac. Uranus rules the unexpected. It rules earthquakes, explosions, thinking outside the box, electricity, inventions, doing things unique and differently. And it's at 4 degrees Aries, next to the Mercury retrograde and next to the Sun. So a lot of unexpected events, a lot of unexpected things from the past coming back. Actually, Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury, so it really gives a whole new meaning to thinking outside the box, learning from our past, and manifesting things in bright, brilliant, new, and inventive ways. And that's sort of going to be the key theme for the next 3 months.
So corporate, because let me go backtrack, because I had a question I was thinking about the corporate thing. So corporately, as opposed to when everything's being torn down and reborn, what was, because you're saying something about affecting, let's say, corporations and stuff like that, how would that be addressed, like, right now, going the next 3 months, then, as opposed to being torn, is it things from the past being resurfaced, or are we...
It's still restructuring. Pluto's going to be in Capricorn for many years to come. Because Pluto is the furthest most planet from Earth, it's going to have the slowest transit. So it entered Capricorn in November of 2008, right when Obama was elected and right when the economy did the downturn. And it's going to remain in that sign for many years until it enters Aquarius. So we're still going to be transforming. Transformation is a key word for Pluto. Rebuilding and restructuring. But because it's not within 0 to 5 degrees anymore, it's not going to be as intense. That's another key word for Pluto. It's not going to have quite as intense an impact as it's had previously. But yes, we will still be restructuring and all the corporate business, the banks, and all that for years to come. That's why I don't see the economy recovering right away. It's going to take time, but we're not quite in the death throes like we were the last couple of years. And interestingly enough, Pluto in Capricorn is the opposite sign of Cancer. Cancer ruling real estate, among other things, because it's ruled by the moon, which is the home and the family. So mundanely, materially, Cancer is real estate. Pluto opposite the sign of real estate is what's having the biggest effect on the real estate market. Real estate market's starting to turn a little bit, but again, it's going to be a long road to recovery and getting back to the prices we saw 4, 5, 6 years ago now.
So real estate's just like slowly coming around, and then we still have issues with the economy. What about energy? Like, I think most people are concerned about, since gas prices have been shooting up. I know I was just in Vegas, and God, they're paying 40 cents less than in California. But because we're paying like $4.40, $4.30, and there people are talking that it might even hit up to $5 heading into the summer. What's the relationship? Would it be Pluto, what you're talking about, also with energy?
Energy as it relates to corporations, because it's in the sign of Capricorn, which is corporations. When you look at oil and gas, I look at the planet Neptune. Neptune is in a positive aspect to Pluto. We do different aspects in the mathematical configurations to each other, and that's where astrology gets complicated. So to break it down into easy terms, there's good aspects and hard aspects. Neptune is in a good aspect, but it's a very wide aspect mathematically. So it looks like there could be more positive trends towards energy within the next 3 months. And that's going to continue for a while because Neptune, like Pluto, is an outer planet. So it's going to continue in a positive configuration with Pluto now that it's moved into the sign of Pisces, which is where it is at home. Both the sign of Pisces and the planet Neptune rule gas and oil. And the moon always, in any chart, is a significant player. And the moon, in this vernal equinox chart, lies right next to Neptune. The moon being the ruler of Cancer, which is the ruling sign of our country. Our nation falls under the sun sign of Cancer. The moon is our ruling planet. Put that in quotation marks, and it lies Neptune next to him. So it looks like there could be some positive strides made towards energy and gas and the rebirth and the rebuilding of that. They both fall next to the asteroid Chiron, which is the wounded healer. So we're going to be licking our wounds, but learning to heal from them. Neptune also applies to healthcare and healthcare issues. But in this chart, it all falls in the 12th house, which is behind-the-scenes energy. So any positive strides we see towards healthcare, gas and oil, is going to be done quietly on the down low.
Wow, so it'd be very, like, very, and so in other words, very, we won't, notice any real effect. Or directly, it might be slightly indirect affected, both health and healthcare, and as far as energy is changing in a positive aspect.
It is. It's going to be more subtle, and it's going to be done behind the scenes, so we might not see the direct impact until the summer solstice. This configuration in Pisces of Chiron, the Moon, and Neptune, which we call a stellium. A stellium is three or more planets in one sign or house. This stellium of Pisces energy planets falls in a hard aspect to two points in the chart we call the nodes. The nodes directly relate to the eclipse points. I put the actual dates for the eclipses in my vernal equinox article. They fall in May, and I believe it is June 1st. I'll just double check those dates for you. And eclipses bring hidden things to light. So if there's anything deceptive, because Neptune and Pisces can be deception, mm-hmm. if there's anything going on that's not right, that is deceptive, it can be exposed around the eclipse time period. Eclipses always bring hidden things to light. The last eclipses were around November and December, and you had the whole Penn State scandal exposed.
Oh.
Yeah, the eclipses here, we have a solar eclipse, an annular eclipse of the sun on May 20th or 21st, depending on which time zone you live in. And we have a lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse on June 4th. So around those time periods, you can see hidden things being brought to light. The moon also rules women, women's organizations, things feminine. It could be anything back in the day from the suffragette movement to women's lib. That can factor into this, too, things going on behind the scenes. If there's anything unorthodox or unethical, it can be exposed on this, on these eclipses. If not, it'll be exposed again when the next eclipses occur in November.
So, like right now, there's been a lot of political stuff over about women receiving, getting the contraception and through their health care and all that. Not, you know, I think it's ridiculous to deal with that. But do you think that has a lot to do with the raising of that issue that's been going on the last month or two, specifically by the Republicans? Of course, they put their foot in their mouth when they did it. Do you see that coming back at the surface to bite them? Because it seems like that could come back and bite them.
Absolutely, it could come. It could, if their agenda is not ethical, it could come back again around the eclipse time periods, which fall into this 3 month, you know, forecast that I'm doing here. As far as women's health care and those issues, it's going to be more on the down low or downplayed, and I. They had that clip of Mitt Romney saying he would totally abolish Planned Parenthood, which I think is an atrocity. I know a lot of women who use that, not for abortions or any illicit activity, but to get their birth control and to get their checkups. There's definitely some, and ironically, if I remember from doing Mitt Romney's chart, he is a Pisces. So this Neptune, Moon, and Chiron configuration is right in there with his sun sign. So that's going to be a hot topic for him, and he's really going to have to defend his accusations.
Well, he'll get his Etch-a-Sketch. That's the latest. The joke, Etch-a-Sketch, he redoes every, like he never talked about it. But what about internationally, since right now the biggest hyperbole situation right now that's out there is the situation with Iran, if Israel or the U.S. attacks Iran, how does that fall as far as looking at the next 3 months with the chart? Because the situation with them proposing building a nuclear, the nuclear stuff that's going to end up producing possibly nuke weapons, which is their agenda, and with the deal with the Israel attacks preemptively to do the, like they did in Iraq or they did in Syria, what the aftermath would possibly be with that, or is it because right now they're putting restraints with banks and trying to stranglehold Iran to stop restricting them to come to grips to not pursue their nuclear activities. How's that lay out in a chart?
Okay, well, that's kind of a threefold question there. First and foremost, in relation to foreign affairs, I see favorable strides. There's not a lot going on in this chart, and this is what I'm analyzing for your listeners on this show is the vernal equinox chart. And for anybody who's into astrology, I just use a zero Aries chart, so it relates to anywhere in the world. There's no specific location. I just use a zero Aries solar chart. And when looking at that, the North Node falls in the house of foreign affairs. The North Node is favorable. It's fate and it's destiny, so it's going to be an issue we should address, we need to address. But the North Node generally lends itself to fate and where we're meant to be headed. So anything to do with foreign affairs, foreign events, is favorable to us if we face our fears and look into it and look after it. The second part of your question, that had to do with money and banks. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, what they're doing is they've been restricted bank movement and monies from Iran, thereby getting them close, trying to get them to the table and also to open up, being open about their nuclear activities. So, and it's so far it's been helping to some extent, but you know, it's still status quo. And so, and the Israelis are really pushing to probably do, because they're more threat, they're the ones who are threatened, to do something. And there's people are assuming that they might do something prior to the elections, because that's sort of the window for them to do it, which would be the next 2 to 3 months.
Well, we have to be careful what we promise, because as the North Node falls in the House of Foreign Affairs, so the South Node, which can be self-undoing, falls in the third house of communications. So whatever we say or speak can come back, can be our undoing, especially with Mercury retrograde co-ruling this chart. Mercury retrograde is right on the ascendant of this chart. Mercury ruling the house of communication and the South Node being in there means whatever we say can come back to haunt us, so we have to be very careful what we promise. As I mentioned before, these nodes that I refer to fall in a hard aspect to the Pisces configuration. Downside of Pisces can be deception. So if we're making promises behind the scenes, if we're doing things that aren't ethical, or if they're doing things that aren't ethical, it has the potential to be exposed. But we won't know that in this, well, it might come to light within this three-month cycle around the eclipse date, but overall it's probably going on, negotiations, discussions is going on behind the scenes. Now, in terms of money and finances for our economy, and you can apply everything in this chart on a personal level, too. It's a very broad generalization, but that, you know, there's a collective unconscious. So everything that applies nationally and internationally in this chart can affect us as individuals. And this is one of the most positive charts I've seen in a long time of doing the solstices and equinoxes. And when it comes to money and finances, we have great planets. Jupiter, the planet that rules luck and abundance, is in our house of personal income. So I would look for really positive strides within the economy in the next 3 months. It lies next to Venus, again, the money planet. They both fall in the sign in the house of money.
So you're saying that the economy in the U.S. specifically is going to be a lot better off within the next 3 months?
Not within the U.S., anywhere. Economy looks good. Money looks good. You know, you can apply this chart anywhere in the world, to any country, any person, any individual.
So in general, everything's going to be a lot better economically around the world?
It should be. So I mean, not only is Jupiter and Venus in the sign of Taurus, Venus rules Taurus. So when Venus winds up in its own sign, it's at home. It's a hugely favorable placement. And to have the two planets that are called the benefics in the chart, Venus is the lesser benefic, Jupiter is the greater benefic, they're together in the sign of money, in the house of money. So it's very auspicious for great economic progress during this three-month period. And in addition to that, it forms a rare configuration to Pluto. Remember Pluto's transformation in terms of corporations, big business? It forms a favorable aspect of Pluto, but also to Mars. And while Mars is retrograde in this chart, it is still the planet of drive and ambition, and it will go direct during this time period. It falls in the sign of work and health. And these four planets in this massive configuration called a grand trine, which is the most favorable aspect you can have, times that by three, shows huge potential for, you know, working hard, transformation, and making things happen economically. The house of income and money is also the house of morals and ethics, our personal values, not just monetary value, but what our values are. So as if we do, you know, this is great for our morals, our ethics, our values, working hard, transformation, and making money. I don't really see it as it relates so much into foreign policies, foreign events, and foreign terms. It's more what we can accomplish as individuals or on home soil. But it does bring in, yes, world politics and the total global transformation that everybody's going through.
Well, if we're going in a positive, so even on a personal scale, because they say that like our unemployment, I'm talking about the U.S. is going down. Economies are starting to go back up. I think we're sort of going hyper. We're going to start going in an inflationary cycle, but it's like going to be slowly build up. But if they have if economy goes good, that's actually, I hate to tell the people out there who are Republicans, but that's going to make Obama be reelected.
It's interesting you said about inflation, because Jupiter is expansion. So as we see our money expand, we can see inflation expand too. I never thought of that. And that usually is how it goes too. The more money we make, the more we have to spend. So it can be twofold.
Yeah, well,
generally, it's a positive trend.
Yeah, because the reason why it's twofold inflation is set up is, you think about the $1 trillion that was printed up to bail out the banks and bail all the that was printed up, made up phony money, because basically it's made up money. So there's more money in the pie thrown in the system. At the same token, and it took years to all that stuff to start coming out. So now there's more money in the supply money. Then you have the issue right now, the energy of oil and gasoline going up. So all those things are pointing out that back. This sort of reminds, I don't even know how it was back in the, but the situation astrologically was back in the late 70s, but it's almost like back in the Carter years when sort of the same situation, and then Iran is sort of ironic, is an issue. But it seems like we're going back to that time period, which we went from a recession during the end of Nixon and Ford, and then we went into we started going into inflationary cycle with Carter years. So that's almost like feels like what we're going through right now. But let me ask you, because the other thing I want to ask you is, you said something about hidden things might be exposed. Is this could possibly be politically exposure, or is it just something like we had? You said like with what happened with Penn State and that whole ugly affair that happened there.
Well, it could be anything. Eclipses bring hidden things to light. In this chart, what looks like to be most impacted is, the moon figures into this. So it could be a prominent woman that gets exposed, or anything to do with women, female organization, any agenda to do with feminine energy could be exposed. It would have to do with, I would look at women, female, the moon is also real estate. There could be a real estate scandal. Something to do with healthcare scandal. Yeah, if that's the negative side of it, though. Positively, it's healing. It's putting forth our best efforts to heal behind the scenes. It has a lot to do with the collective unconscious and healing through spirituality and the arts and entertainment.
So this could become also the aspect that some new way of looking at healing ourselves in the next 3 months. You're saying a new thing come out of the.
And that would be new. Everything's going to relate to the past, so it could be an old way of healing. It just has to do with healing, but it's going to be more. It's not going to be like in other charts I've written about it and spoke of it being really prominent. In this chart, again, it's behind the scenes, so it's more quiet. We're making big strides, progress economically, rebuilding, restructuring. So therefore, we're healing behind the scenes. We're licking our wounds and putting our best foot forward, because the moon, like I said, rules the sign of Cancer. And in the vernal equinox chart, Cancer rules, you know, the most private part of ourselves. It rules our home and our country and our families. So we're healing our families. to see a family dynamic emerge. And but a family doesn't have to be mama, papa, sister, brother. It's whatever you perceive as family.
And you mentioned
and healing.
And you mentioned about about Venus going retrograde. When's that go into effect? The Venus retrograde.
April. I'll get you the exact date right now. And for any of you who didn't catch all this, I have all this in. I'll have this up by the end of the month on my monthly forecast. I do a free horoscope for each sign, and it's under monthly 411 buzz, and I'll have all the exact dates of the retrogrades and the planetary movement. Mars goes direct on Friday, April 13th, and I'm still looking for the Venus retrograde.
Okay. Wait. Anyway, does Venus when the Venus goes retrograde? You said what's the positive effects, and what you said? You mentioned the negative effects is sort of like the Gemini thing. You said something like because it's coming around there, it'd be like two-faced, backstabbing.
Yeah, I went over all that. Venus doesn't go retrograde until May. I'm sorry. It doesn't go retrograde until about May 15th or May 16th. So we're a couple months out on that. Venus rules love and money. So Venus retrograde could be a reversal of fortune. That would be the negative side. Positively, Venus retrograde could bring a past love or lover back into your life. If you were searching for someone, Venus is also the next feminine principle next to the moon. So if someone, say, who was adopted wanted to search for their mother, Venus retrograde might be a good time to do that. The positive side of retrograde is going back and redoing. You want to look at the energy of the planet that's retrograde to know where you should be redoing or renewing. Venus, love and money. Redoing your finances, refinancing, going over your money, redoing your budget.
So just basically restructuring yourself financially. And then also, if it was doing regarding relationship, it might be pull up past issues of past relationships that you had in the past, or past feelings of relationships in the past.
Yeah, if you're single and you're looking to reconnect with someone from your past, Venus retrograde could make that happen, or it might be a good time to pursue that. If you're in a long-term committed relationship, Venus retrograde can mean recapturing that spark, recapturing that romance, or going over old issues that relate to the relationship. Venus is the romantic side of relationships. Mars is the sexual or passionate side of relationships. You need both, I think, to have a good relationship. Because if all you have is Venus, then all you have is a really good friendship. If you have Mars, you have a relationship with a lot of chemistry, but if there's no romance, you wind up fighting as much as you do.
Yeah, you're right.
You get it. So, you know, and you see that a lot in really passionate relationships where people are very into each other sexually, very intense, very passionate. When they're not in the bedroom, they're fighting a lot, you know. Some relationships take on a more Venusian tone where the sex isn't as important. It's probably fundamental to the relationship, but there's more a romantic relationship. And this, I think, happens when couples get older. The relationships that last and thrive, and people that have been married 40, 50, 60 years, they might tune into the more Venusian aspect side of the relationship, where there's more cuddling, holding hands, more general affection. Partly because they have more time to spend with each other, whereas in your younger in a marriage, usually raising kids, working on your career, you don't have the time for the romance that you do in your later years. But I think, you know, you need both components to have a successful relationship. And that, I think, that applies generally not just to heterosexual relationships, but homosexual relationships. You need both elements.
Now, what happens about getting into new relationships during our Venus retrograde?
I wouldn't do it. Doesn't mean you can't date. You can't, you can't get laid. I would just be cautious.
So I'm going to have to tell all my clients every time I have reading, by the way, you that person you want to meet, you wait till after June.
I tell my clients that, because if you're going to start something new, you don't, especially something of a romantic nature, what you could do, what the relationship might start off with is just a passionate relationship. It might start out as friends with benefits because Mars is direct. Mars goes direct next month. And then when Venus goes direct, it might turn into something more romantic. It might be a good time to reconnect with a past love, but what concerns me here with this Venus retrograde, it's in the sign of Gemini. Gemini is always more than one. So when you have Venus in Gemini, you have the potential for love triangles. So if you're getting involved with a new person, mid-May to the end of June, you run the risk of having them still being attached to somebody from their past or having a third party around the relationship.
Right, right. And Venus retrograde starts when?
It starts May 15th, I believe. May 15th or 16th. Do you want the exact date on that?
No, that's okay. So people hear that, they're going to go, okay. They know, well, if I go into that, that might end up being,
It's not a good time. You can't help when you meet somebody or fall in love with somebody. Now, if you're born with Venus retrograde, that's sort of an exception to the rule.
Right, because now you said like people are born like within the retrograde, like Mercury retrogrades or in the a certain aspect of that any retrograde, they're less being affected by
right because
the
they're more at home with that energy. But if you're hooking up with someone new, unless they're born with Venus retrograde, it doesn't mean if you're born with Venus retrograde, you'll never have successful relationships. It's just you have different. Everybody has different karma to work out. You know, therapists might call it issues. I look at it as karma because each one of the planets, when it's set in the chart, it shows us where we have our good attributes and our negative attributes and what karmically we have to work out and what gifts we are given. Some people have tougher charts than others. Usually the people with the toughest charts have the most success in life because they have the drive and the ambition to overcome it. Someone with a really good chart and really easy chart might not accomplish much because they just wind up being lazy and expect good things to come to them.
Right.
But getting back to the Venus retrograde, it's just not a good time to pursue new romance. It's a better time to reconnect with a past love or just get together with old friends. Venus is socializing. Venus, like I said, is good food, good wine, good times. It's a great time to plan a reunion, get together with old friends, be in the moment in that space. And I never think it's good to go looking for love. I think it's better to let it come to you. Venus retrograde is an excellent time to work on yourself, to go inward and love yourself. Look at your past relationships, what went wrong, what was good, and heal yourself and deal with yourself. Go within. So when it goes direct, you're a better person in a better place to attract the right person.
Right, that's a good way of looking at that. What about now? You said now, right now we're going into, are we in already? I know we're already Mercury retrograde, but you said we're in Aries retrograde?
No, Aries can't go retrograde. Aries is a sign. Our ruler, Mars, is retrograde. It's been retrograde in the sign of Virgo, and it will continue to be retrograde until mid-April. I just gave you the exact date on that.
So what are the aspects of that again?
It's been retrograde since mid-January. Mars is our energy. It's our passion, what we have passion for, whether it's another person, whether it's our job, whether it's a desire. It rules sports. It's athletics. It's where we put our energy. So when the Mars is retrograde, our energy is kind of reversed. We might have low energy. Our energy is turned inward. So, again, it's a good time to work on ourselves. You don't want to start a new exercise program. You might want to return to your old exercise program.
Hmm.
You know, reapply your ambition to tasks from the past that maybe need to be completed. If you're looking for a new direction, go back to the past. Where was the point in your life when you were the most successful? Where was the point in your life when you really fell on top of your game? Where was the point when you were in your life where, you know, things were going really well? You know, go back and look at that and see if you can, any of that relates to your life now. When Mars goes direct, I think, I believe I just said April 12th, then you can apply that energy to moving forward. Mercury retrograde, Mars retrograde, you can start making plans, looking at what you want to implement on the next new moon in April. Because it's never good to go forward with blind ambition. It's always better to have a plan or at least have a goal.
So basically, to have a plan, you look in the past when it was where it was positive, and applying that same type of mojo kind of energy that what you did then, and look from that and applying it now. Basically, that's what it's going.
That's a good use. See, in astrology, we don't manipulate energy. We don't do spells. We believe each planet holds a different energy that relates to us here on Earth, but we never manipulate that energy. We take what's there and we use it in the most, my thing is to use it in the most positive light as possible. Sometimes you'll get hard transits from the planets in the sky now, the transiting planets, to the natal planets in your chart. And by having a good astrologer and knowing when those hard aspects are coming is like knowing when a storm is coming. Yeah, you know it's going to be some tough energy, but you can prepare for it the same way you would prepare for a storm. I never predict death. I don't look at it like that. But if you know there's going to be some rough waters, you can look at the positive way to manifest that energy or use that energy. But it's never manipulated.
Well, I always look at astrology as sort of like the weather report. Like if you know when it's like telling you, hey, you know, if it's going to rain or something else, you know, to bring your umbrella. If it's going to be cold and windy, you know, wear a jacket. If you know it's going to be hot and everything else, you know, to where you can wear light, you know, and drink have a lot of water to drink if it gets hot. So it's sort of like a weather report. That's how I look at astrology, basically.
Yeah, and even when there's so much going on in the chart. Everybody's born with the planet somewhere in their chart in a certain configuration based on the date and time of their birth and where they were born. It's almost like DNA. It's very hard for someone else to have the exact same chart as you. Even twins have slightly different charts because they can't both be born at the same time. So their charts will be very, very similar, and that's where you get that psychic bond or that closeness between twins, because their charts are almost identical, but they're not exactly the same. Just like their DNA will be very close, but I don't think twins have exactly the same DNA. And when you take these planets...
I want to ask you a little bit off-the-wall thing, because I know I didn't ever ask you, but I'm going to ask you, because I remember you looking at charts one time, we were talking one time, you said an aspect that shows a connection between people from past lives, and you said something one time about, no, can you explain, I know we never did this, and I know this is out of the blue, but it just popped in my head right now. I was just curious, since we're going dealing with themes of past relationships or past things about yourself and things like that, what about past lives? How would you look on a chart? What would show you on a chart if two people you looked at and did a compatibility, if you looked at their chart and you go, wow, this is some past karmic past life situation, what would show you that on a chart?
I have strong connections between couples that wind up getting married and that. I look at the nodes, and we talked a lot about the nodes today, that when you look at a chart, they look like horseshoes. The north node looks like an upside-down horseshoe, and the south node looks like a regular horseshoe. It looks like the letter U. The south node, to me, says a lot about past lives. Also, a very karmic connection, what I would call a karmic connection, a soulmate connection, would be the planet Saturn. When you see Saturn tight with somebody else, Saturn's a tough planet, but it's like glue. For better or for worse, you know, it holds things together. But some things always aren't meant, you know, if you want your marriage to last, you want Saturn in your marriage chart in a nice aspect to one of the prominent planets. One thing I look at in two charts, if I'm putting two charts next to each other to see connections like you mentioned, the nodes always lie opposite each other in the chart, and I look for the line of the nodes to fall across an important angle in the other person's chart, like the ascendant, descendant. Mm-hmm. Because that relates to the self and others, self relationships. my husband's nodes fall across my ascendant descendant. They're in the same signs. Sometimes you'll see it between the midheaven and the nadir. That's another access point that has to do with career and the home and the family. But that's a really strong connection. The nodes and Saturn.
Hmm.
A Venus-Mars aspect between two charts, one person's Mars aspecting another Venus, is great for chemistry and compatibility. Like a couple that really, you know, hits it off.
Right.
Gets along good.
But then the affinity or karmic connection that they've had past lives is looking up the nodes, you said, basically.
Yeah, especially the south node. If you want to look at a person's chart and you see the south node, which is the karma, the baggage, let's say, you brought in from your past life. If you see someone with the south node on the descendant, you know they came into this life with a lot to work out. Possibly they were even a suicide in another life, and they copped out on what they had to learn, and they brought their baggage from their past life in addition to all the lessons they came to learn in this lifetime. If you see someone with the north node lying across the ascendant, you know they came in with a special purpose. They came in to really fulfill a destiny in this lifetime. So I like looking at the nodes in chart, and they relate to the eclipse points, too. And I like looking at eclipses as far as events, and it really energizes parts of the chart.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. The reason why I asked you, because I know a lot of people have asked me that, and then seeing what you're talking about with all the Venus and retrograde and all that stuff, which is interesting. Now that we've got understanding of all the retrogrades, or I guess we're going through the series of them from Mercury to Mars and Venus, is pretty bizarre. But I think in the overall, what you're saying is basically, from what your analysis is, more of our economics is going to be a lot better. Little things are going to be surprises, and it can be positive too. And in summation, what would you say, and overall view of everything seems like it's going to be more economically a little bit better. Some things of health is going to be dealt with in a positive aspect, but we're not. It's more like behind the scenes. The same thing with energy, it seems like, and it seems like also with our and then you just delved a little bit into the aspects of the retrograde with Venus and all that we're going to may have, you know, we start dealing with those issues as well on a more personal level. So is that pretty much par what I'm saying right now?
Yeah, I think you got a pretty good. We went into a lot of different stuff, but that's a good gist of it. This is a really nice chart. It's one of the nicer solstice and equinox charts. I know I've been kind of negative. I don't want to be a big downer, but the last one, there's been some charts in the last couple of years with Saturn and Pluto moving in the cardinal signs affecting all these that have, but in sort of, I hate to use the word negative, but I don't know another word to use right now. But now they've moved out of aspect to that. So, well, their influence is still there. There's so many positive things in this chart. This is really a hopeful time, but we have to think, we have to borrow from our past, Mercury and Mars retrograde, but with Uranus, we have to start apply that knowledge in new and different ways. We have to think outside the box. We have to be creative, and we have to use whatever energies we have and be willing to transform, and it looks like a really positive time for everybody.
Hmm. Well,
if we let ourselves heal, you'll always have those that see the glass half full and those that see the glass half empty.
Terry, so everybody knows it out there, how would they be able to contact you to get either a reading or an astral analysis?
It's very simple. My website is zodiacbuzz.com. It's spelled just the way it sounds, buzz with two Z's. go to the front page of my website. It tells you how to order a reading, how to pay for it, how to contact me. It also gives you access to lots of free information on the Mercury retrograde, the vernal equinox report as I published it. My friend Larry does a wonderful new moon report. We just published that yesterday. So, you know, help yourself to all the free information. And if you want a reading, just go ahead and book it from the main page of ZodiacBuzz.com. Then either call me or email me from those from that information, and we'll set up a time.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for coming on my show, Carrie. It's been very enlightening. At least it was not like the last few we had. Came and was like, oh, this is really bad going to happen. This is really going to bad happen. It's now finally, I guess, a positive aspect, which, you know, I guess, it, which is, you know, everyone looks for the negative all the time and stuff, which is easy to do. And it's harder to look at, people look at excitement as something negative when excitement should be something positive, I think. But I want to thank you for coming on my show. It's been very enlightening, and I definitely would like to have you on, hopefully, as soon as they decide on who's going to be a Republican nominee. And that would be pretty interesting if you could do an astral setting on what's going to happen with the elections. I know you did that 4 years ago. It would be possible if we could get you to do that in sometime in September or October to do that. That would be great, because I'd love to hear what you think about the coming events and the elections and stuff, and we might be in very interesting times at that time.
Oh, I would love to do that. Thank you for having me on your show and giving me the opportunity to explain astrology a little bit, because I know you get really confused by it, I hate to talk, you know, in terms that people have no clue what I'm saying. So I hope people have a little bit better grasp of, you know, where I get my information from and how I make my predictions, and have a little more respect. It's a lot to learn and understand. So do you feel a little more comfortable with it?
Yeah, especially your explanation of retrograde, because I think that everybody thinks, how the hell does Mercury go backwards? So anyway, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to thank all my listeners and future listeners for listening, of course, and I want to thank BBS Radio for producing my show, and thank you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless you all, and thank you.